I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. This Sunday, Zimbabwe marks 30 years of independence from Britain. The man who became leader of that nation is still in power today. Back then, Robert Mugabe was cheered as a hero. Now he's reviled by many of his own people as they've watched the country descend into violence and poverty. These days, Mugabe has few friends among Western governments, so he's been turning to other nations for support, even if it causes problems at home. The World's Laura Lynch reports.
In the fading light of day, in the southern reaches of Harare, barefoot boys kick a shrunken ball on a dusty patch of land. It's their version of soccer, and they love it.
Do you guys play every day?
Yes.
They can't wait for the World Cup, even if there's no chance they'll get to see a game. Harriet Rushawe of the Zimbabwe International Football Association says having it next door in South Africa has been reason enough to get excited.
Everybody was really looking forward to June 2010. And over the years, we've been really trying as much as we possibly could to ensure that we get to enjoy the World Cup.
Rushawe says that hasn't been easy. Zimbabweans either can't get or can't afford the tickets. So Zimbabwe invited World Cup teams to base themselves here for training and practice during the tournament.
Having some teams coming to camp in Zimbabwe was the initial idea, and as such, we only have received just a few responses.
A few responses, and only one positive reply. Out of all the teams, only the North Koreans are coming to town. And not everyone is happy about it, not even in this soccer-mad nation. A few blocks away from the boys' pickup game, the pros are at it in Zimbabwe's Premier League. World Cup fever is in the air here, too. But one man in the crowd who refuses to give his name is offended by Zimbabwe's decision to play host to North Korea because of what happened in the past. Soon after Robert Mugabe came to power, North Korean soldiers arrived to train Zimbabwe's military. Those freshly trained Zimbabwean troops went on to unleash a campaign of murder and brutality against people living mainly in central and western provinces of the country.
My family was a victim of that. The memories come back and it becomes fresh. And we don't need this during this time when we are talking about reconciliation, when we are talking about national healing. We don't want this.
Some, like political scientist John Makumbe of the University of Zimbabwe, believe Mugabe is relishing the controversy and the headlines it's generating both at home and abroad.
Nothing thrills Robert Mugabe more than annoying the West. It's all to do with we have more friends than you think we have, you know, this being directed at Western democracies, and we are not isolated at all.
Yet another friend of Mugabe's, Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, is coming to Zimbabwe next week. He's been invited to officially open an international trade fair, the first non-African leader to be given such an honor. And that isn't sitting well with some in Zimbabwe's own government. It's a unity government in place for just over a year. Bitter political enemies are trying to work together, often with fractious results. Tendai Biti, former opposition candidate turned finance minister, was at an uncharacteristic loss for words when I asked him about Ahmadinejad's visit.
I don't know anything about that. I don't know who has invited him. So, you know, I'm not the Minister of Foreign Affairs.
But here's where the new Zimbabwe gets even more complicated. Biti says he wouldn't have invited Ahmadinejad and he won't comment on the North Koreans. But just last week, Biti made an official visit to China. China may not be considered a rogue state, but his visit signals a shift of priorities for Biti and his party, who have had traditionally strong ties to the United States and other Western nations. Biti says he's fed up with the West's reluctance to help Zimbabwe.
The bottom line is that this economy needs capital. This economy needs reconstruction. This economy needs rebuilding. After the Second World War, Europe benefited from the Marshall Plan. We are in a position where we definitely needed our Marshall Plan, but the West did not come with a Marshall Plan. So me as Finance Minister of Zimbabwe, I'm going to talk to anyone and everyone. As long as it is in the best interest of Zimbabwe, I will do that.
A reminder of China's largesse sits on Harare's outskirts. It recently spent $10 million to refurbish the main soccer stadium to bring it up to World Cup standards. North Korea will likely play exhibition matches there.
Pulling down colonialism, British colonialism, which had settled here, oppressed us for nearly a century.
This week, Zimbabwe State Television's primetime offerings include Robert Mugabe narrating the tale of the birth of the nation. But Mugabe reliving past glories isn't must-see TV for everyone in this stricken nation. On the highway between Harare and the Mozambique border, a bus full of passengers has pulled over. A crowd of roadside vendors springs into action, pushing apples, cokes, and candy up toward the open windows. These people may earn a few dollars a day doing this, and they say they won't be celebrating Independence Day this weekend.
We can't celebrate. We are not free. We don't have money. That money, it is very difficult to get money in Zimbabwe.
And you, are you going to celebrate on Independence Day?
I'll be here.
You'll be here selling apples?
Yes.
That's not much of a celebration, is it?
She shrugs her shoulders and walks away, cradling her basket of fruit against her waist. She and the others will wait for the next bus and wait for the promise of a better Zimbabwe to come true. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch, on the road to Harare.